From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty with the news on this day in Maine, Thursday, January 9th, 2020.
This Day in Maine is made possible by New England Rehabilitation Hospital of Portland, helping patients and their families after illness or injury. Learn more at nerhp.org. And by Douglas Ridge, a new eco-conservation subdivision in Brunswick, dedicated to nature-centric sustainable home design. More at douglasridge.com.
A review by staff at Maine's Public Utilities Commission has concluded that Central Maine Power's billing and metering systems have operated accurately. That's a counterpoint to complaints from numerous customers about botched bills, inflated bills, and poor customer service. In its recommendation to the commission's three-person board, the staff says high electricity prices last winter and higher electricity usage during that season's cold snap were to blame for unexpected charges. It also says the company's smart care system performed poorly, particularly during its initial rollout, and recommends that CMP's shareholders, not customers, should pay for improvements. In a press release, CMP parent company Avangrid said it would respond to the recommendations within 2 weeks. You can find the full document on our website, mainepublic.org. Maine Congresswoman Shelley Pingree is urging colleagues to support a bill she's co-sponsoring that would regulate forever chemicals known as PFAS, which are believed to cause health problems, including cancer. Speaking on the House floor yesterday, Pingree said there are currently no enforceable standards for PFAS levels in drinking water,
leaving communities without the information or the funding to protect our citizens.
The bill would designate PFAS as hazardous and require national drinking water regulations around them. Pingree's Democratic colleague Jared Golden is also a co-sponsor of the bill. And efforts by the Trump administration to reduce the influence of unions are spurring progressive-minded members of Congress to act. Mal Leary reports 2nd District Congressman Jared Golden is leading an effort to get his party leaders to allow consideration of a bill to strengthen unions.
Golden is the lead signer of a letter from 75 House members urging leaders to bring up legislation for a vote that's aimed at strengthening the ability of workers to form a union and providing stronger enforcement provisions.
I always find the best wages, best benefit packages amongst those workforces, and it's not a coincidence. It's because they are collectively bargaining with strength.
The legislation would prevent employers from interfering in union organizing, would allow workers to go directly to court if employers violate their rights instead of going through the National Labor Relations Board. It would also allow the board to enforce its rulings without having to go to court. The measure has not yet been considered in the Senate. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
In weather tonight, partly to mostly cloudy with low zero to the high teens. The agency overseeing Maine's lobbying regulations wants to update a state law that's allowed some interest groups to influence legislation by spending big without having to disclose it to the public. The proposal, drafted by the Maine Ethics Commission, deals with what's known as indirect or grassroots lobbying. The commission's director says it's inspired by an increase in advertising and influence campaigns that often don't get reported through traditional lobbying disclosures, and by a shadowy group that's seeking to derail a controversial transmission line proposed by Central Maine Power. Steve Missler has our story.
When it comes to influencing state lawmakers' votes on legislation, interest groups and companies have an assortment of tools at their disposal. Some hire lobbyists, who attempt to personally persuade legislators to support, oppose, or amend bills. And other groups use what Maine law currently calls indirect or grassroots lobbying, using direct mail, print, television, or radio ads like this one to shape public opinion on an issue that's before the legislature.
CMP's corridor is a bad deal for Maine.
It'll do lasting damage we can't fix, all to send power to Massachusetts.
Listen up, politicians. Mainers don't want it. Our voices should be heard.
This ad was paid for by Stop the Corridor, a group that bills itself as a coalition of concerned citizens and organizations opposing Central Maine Power's 145-mile transmission project, and a group that has repeatedly refused to disclose its donors. Ads for and against the project have been running for more than a year as part of a broad campaign that's now shifting toward a potential referendum on the project this November. But the Stop the Corridor ad also ran as lawmakers were considering key bills that could have affected the transmission project. Those bills were not mentioned in the ad, but even if they were, there's a good chance that such indirect lobbying would not have to be disclosed under current law. Maine Ethics Commission Director Jonathan Wayne says that is a problem.
We see more and more grassroots lobbying out there, and yet very little grassroots lobbying gets reported in the regular monthly reports. I mean, almost none.
Wayne told the legislature's Veterans and Legal Affairs Committee Wednesday that his agency's bill is designed to modernize grassroots lobbying requirements. Under current law, disclosure of grassroots lobbying is only required when a group spends at least $15,000 a month on television, radio, or direct mail advertising, a high threshold that Wayne says doesn't even include digital advertising or email campaigns. The law also says that interest groups must hire a traditional lobbyist before they're even required to disclose grassroots activity to the Ethics Commission. Wayne says that means these groups can directly affect lawmakers' decisions on legislation with advertising, email campaigns, or phone banking without having to tell the public they're doing it or how much they spent in the process.
It's not hard to imagine that sometime groups will be engaging in this kind of grassroots lobbying and they won't already have lobbyists like this other group did.
The Ethics Commission proposal would lower the spending threshold triggering a public lobbying report from $15,000 to $2,000 in a month. It also adds grassroots lobbying activities that are currently exempt, such as digital advertising and contacting legislators by phone or email, as long as the spending on those activities meets the proposed $2,000 threshold. Lawmakers on the Veterans and Legal Affairs Committee seemed generally receptive to the proposal during the public hearing, but some, like Winthrop Democrat Craig Hickman, wondered if grassroots lobbying should be treated just like campaign finance reporting.
I mean, any campaign expenditure that we have has to be reported, no matter how much it is. If it's 5 cents, it must be reported. Why shouldn't that be the case for a grassroots lobbying report?
Wayne says a $0 threshold could anger smaller organizations who rely on volunteer support. And that's exactly what happened last year when New York Governor Andrew Cuomo slashed that state's grassroots lobbying trigger from $5,000 to $500. And Wayne also raised First Amendment concerns, an argument that didn't appear to persuade Paris Republican John Andrews.
I don't think that reporting what you do impacts your free speech at all. You just do the paperwork, you can say whatever you want.
Lawmakers on the Veterans and Legal Affairs Committee will attempt to iron out those details in an upcoming work session before sending the bill to the full legislature. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. And join us tomorrow on Maine Calling at 1 o'clock for a conversation about the U.S., Iran, and what's at stake. I'm Nora Flaherty.